Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Okay, let's thank the Lord. Father, we thank you. And we come before you asking for the anointing to speak utterance. And that you teach and reveal to us that we can learn from you. We come to hear you, not ideas from a man or a woman, but specifically from you. In your word. And thank you for the Spirit that guides us and directs and teaches. We thank you for it and bless you, Father. Thank you. You help us to understand this. We call it in faith. We believe in the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, well, we'll be speaking today on the honor of God and how God is our source of honor, that abundance of honor. So let's start reading something here with the scripture. In 1 Samuel 2, verse 12, now the sons of Eli were corrupt. That expression there means that they were children of the devil. Now, help in multimedia, help me with the English version, please. For Samuel 2:12? Yes, in the English version, please. Notice, in the original King James, sons of Belial, or sons of the devil. They did not know the Lord or have understanding of the Lord. So what can we learn from there nowadays? Because the children of Eli were priests. So we have many churches where the family of the pastors or the leaders do not have understanding of the Lord. So it's not how much you understand the Lord, but how do you apply it? Now verse 13. And the priest's custom with the people was when they take men offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in his hand with the meat was boiling, like a giant fork. Then when he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. So what was this meat? This meat was what was used in the offering of the sacrifice. It was the meat of animals. Now, to redeem time, I won't be asking, but I'm going to ask and I myself will answer. Because if I wait for you to answer, well, we're going to spend a lot of time. Leviticus 7, verse 34 and 35. And here we'll see that honor teaches us, or the honor towards God, is when you respect God very highly. And we're going to be seeing the word honor. So Leviticus 7, 34 and 35. For the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering I have taken from the children of Israel, from the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and I have given them to Aaron the priest and to his sons from the children of Israel by a statute forever. Now pay attention towards me, please. They would do this. The offering was raised up. It was an offering that was raised up. And then in other parts it mentions that they would do this. They would make the cross like this. Now, do you think that they knew? No, they didn't know. They did not understand. But they would do it in faith, in obedience towards God, that God could honor and bless them. Because all of this pointed towards the Lord Jesus. All of this were examples of what was to come. towards the future. Actually, God had to put it this way. In other words, that what the scripture said would be manifest in them. For example, the prophets spoke. It wasn't just that a prophet prophesied of the birth of Jesus, but many prophets would do that. One would die and one would come up again, and they would be speaking and speaking of it. Who was the one that said? I think it was Micah or Zephaniah, one of the two. Who was it? Help me. Oh God. Okay. Micah, thank you. That's surprising. Thank you. You need to read your Bible more. What happened was 750 years passed after Micah prophesied that, but he wasn't the only one. For those who say, oh, just because you confess it, it shows you that the word of God for something, the Spirit of God left. I believe, therefore I spoke, and you constantly speak the promises of God. Now, if you're speaking to the devil, the promises will take a while to manifest. But we should daily manifest, be confessing the word of God. Now, that's all I'm going to say up to there. Now, notice here. There's a part that God gave to the priest. But God also required that they respect his part. Are we good till there? Now, verse 25 says, verse 35, this is the consecrated portion for Aaron. Aaron was Moses' brother, who was the priest. But at this point, by this point in Leviticus, Aaron was no longer alive. 35, this is a consecrated portion for Aaron and his sons from the offerings made by fire to the Lord on the day when Moses presented them to minister to the Lord as priests. Now notice how the Lord gave a part to the priest, and another part was you respect the part of God. Now, go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Notice this, but you now in the second covenant, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. In other words, if someone said, oh, well, I'm not like Aaron, I'm not the great priest like it says in Leviticus. Well, you don't have to be. Now in Christ Jesus, we were all called priests of the high priest God. Can you see it there? Amen. All of us were called priests of the Almighty God. And all of us then, as priests, the principle is applied to this day. What is that principle of honoring and respecting God? So what were the offerings that they would bring then? It was meat or it was animals that were sacrificed. You see that to this day, we to the local church, we bring goats or sheep or cattle to be sacrificed? No. We don't do that anymore. We don't do the rituals of the law. But we still do the principle of honor to God. And I believe the last time what we studied, we saw from Genesis, offerings were already being made to God. Those sacrifices. So here we see, where were we? In Leviticus 7:34. Now go to Exodus 29 for a moment. Verse 26 to 28. Well, actually from verse 24. And you shall put all these in the hands of Aaron, Aaron being the priest. And this is good. I don't know, I love the word. So why did he put it in the hands of the priest? Or why did it have to be, in this case, Aaron of the priest? But why does he put it in our hands as well? Notice in Hebrews 8, don't lose your spot there. Hebrews chapter 8. Notice verse 3. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. He put it in the hands of Aaron as the priest so that he could what? He could have something to offer. Now, we, in this new covenant, stood under the law of love now, not under the law of Moses, but under the law of love, is the question now. Should we present also sacrifices? What was that? Thank you. Exactly, yes. I started wondering because I thought, or perhaps I didn't make it clear, but in this suspension under the law of love, do we present sacrifices? Yes. I truly wish this was a Bible school and that you would pay to show your exams and tests. Man, you would all flunk. This indicates something to us. That we're not disciples of the word. Or, that's one. Or, we just hear something and we don't fully pay attention to what we're saying and we want to answer quickly without thinking. Or things weren't well understood here. Which, again, I have spent years teaching the same. The author of the Hebrews said you should all be scholars at this point. Meaning that you should be able to teach to anyone, be it your husband who's new, your wife who's new to the things of God, to a family member, to a friend, a co-worker. That's what it's referring to when it said, the author of Hebrews, that we should be scholars or teachers, not speaking specifically of being a teacher called under God, but the context tells you being able to teach someone else who comes to the Word of God. But if we ourselves don't understand it, notice in 1 Peter, verse 5, speaking of the Lord and then us. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, you also, speaking about who? Us here. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So how do we honor God then? Romans 12. Now, I don't know who, because I wasn't able to see. Sometimes the light is very bright. But those who answered no, I hope you brought your Bibles, because perhaps for that reason you answered no. You don't even have your Bible with you. Romans 12, if not, you're going to be like the churches where I go, where you don't even use the Bible. Where I go to preach, rather, what I mean. You know what? Something that happened. You see, this is why sometimes multimedia tells me, we need this, we need that. But sometimes the churches have been directed more. where we want to imitate the world, dress like the world. And use here the platform as if we're some sort of like theater or a state, like many Hollywood artists. But there's no Bible there anymore. I mean, who's going to say, oh, who wants an old book like that? But I'd rather, if the Lord tarries and does not come, the rapture does not occur and I die, but my children and grandchildren say, look, my grandpa's Bible. Not even his iPad. The iPad, we're going to throw it away. Then they're obsolete. Because that's why what these companies do, they're fabricating new things that you have in mind. That, oh, it's obsolete, doesn't work anymore. That they could gain more money. And many Christians are in more debt and poorer every day. Because we don't want to have a Bible. Invest in a good Bible. Invest in reading it. Invest time. That you can grow spiritually. Amen. And don't imitate the world. It tells you clearly. We're going to see another part of the spiritual sacrifice. Chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now all those who are here, who came to service, who came to his church, are presenting your bodies a living sacrifice. Now some, oh yeah, well, I'll see you through the internet. Oh, well, believe me, that's not a living sacrifice there. Again, we have decided what to do, when to go, when not to go. It's much more comfortable to be at home. But from the moment that you woke up, you showered, you got ready, you got nice, you come to church, then you're presenting your body a living sacrifice, which is why it says a sacrifice. I mean, it could be your body or your mind desire something else, to be just lying down all day. But notice again, you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Notice then, we present ourselves a living sacrifice. We are in Hebrews, correct? Thank you, Lord. Now go to Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 15. We are going to be surprised what honor means. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. That's a sacrifice of praise. Fruit of the lips. Sacrifice of praise. You put in sacrifice your body. Prayer is part of it. Spiritual sacrifice, renewing your mind is another sacrifice that we offer to God. Because God can't use us with a not renewed mind. He will use us, but He will be very limited. There are many Christians who are used by God. As I said, I've traveled for so many years. Pastors are pastoring churches, but they're always going to stay in one level because they're not honorable people in their own lives. They're going to always stay at one level. Another spiritual sacrifice is offering, the offerings that we give, tithing and offering. That's a spiritual sacrifice towards God. It's part of honoring God. Now, where were we before all of this? Exodus, correct? Exodus 29:4. And you shall put it in these in the hands of Aaron and in the hands of his sons. You shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. You shall receive them back into their hands and burn them on the altar as a burnt offering. Again, step by step. We're going to go step by step. Talking about the importance of honoring towards God. Now, again, I'll give you some definitions of the word honor in the Hebrew. I'm going to see some things in the Bible along with it. Just because we're under the Second Covenant or the New Testament doesn't mean that it's just, oh, Jesus paid it all and I can live the life that I want, a debaucherous life. Well, you can, technically, because God gave you the ability to choose, and you can choose obedience or you can choose disobedience. God gave you the right to choose. It's you. It's up to you, not God. But if you choose disobedience, sin, dishonor, then the consequences will come, not from God, but from the devil. The devil will bring judgment to your life. And the life on this earth will be much more difficult for you. Well, for me, talking about me, almost 50 years of age, where my son Anthony, now 20 years old, but married for 21 years. Yeah. I still might see myself healthy enough to have maybe two or three more women. But you know what? It will bring me consequence to my life. The devil will destroy not only this church, the ministry, my life, my relationship with my family and with friends. Because they're going to love me, but they'll say, I'd rather not have a relationship with you. You give a terrible example and too bad of a testimony. So I'm not going to receive not honor, but dishonor. So what's the point? But there are millions of Christians doing that. Thousands of pastors dishonoring what God has given them. What I'm saying is you can live wrongly and leave it up to there, but it's because you chose it. Not because God obligated you. And God will never back up disobedience. Now, I'm going to say this. Many churches are just Christian clubs. And I say this respectfully, but they promote everything but the word. And many pastors in those churches assume they're doing things correctly, but they're not. It's the word of God that will mature you, the understanding. Which is why it's very dangerous then for some of you to think, oh, we don't have to present a living sacrifice. Oh, yes, you do. In other words, look at it like this. With greater reason, under grace. One time I told someone that I know. And he told me, oh, yeah, no, now that we're under the New Testament, we don't have to tithe. So I said this, because I know him. And I know what he was referring to, but I made it as if I didn't understand what he was saying. Oh, so you then, I assume by what you tell me, it means that you don't practice it, tithing. But I assume that you give more than tithing, right? Because if you're going to use the grace of God as an excuse to not tithe, that means then that I told them that you do what Nuvia and I do. Nuvia and I, it's true. We don't practice tithing. It's rare. True. It's true, yeah, so you don't believe in tithing? No, we believe. Just that if I just practice tithing, then I'll bind myself to tithing. And the practice of tithing will bind me just to a 10%. But if you understand about businesses and negotiation where I can give something of 20, 30%, 50%, but I invest just the 10%, well, that's all I'm going to obtain for many years, just the 10%. But Nubia and I started with tithing. I told this person, that means that you're like Nubia and I. I give much more than tithing. He looked at me like, just, for example, have you seen when hail, when we have hailstorms here in Douglas, outside where I live, I've been on my porch with hail, and there were some puddles there, and there were some toads, and they wouldn't move, but the toads are just, they start blinking a lot. Well, they look like that. You tell them the truth, and they start blinking like a toad in a hailstorm. They feel uncomfortable. He just looked at me like that. Didn't know what to say. It looked like a toad in a hailstorm. Hallelujah. Because if we're going to use grace as freedom, well, you have the freedom to praise God, to serve in ministries. That's the liberty that we have. If not, then it's no longer grace. It's a version of that, as that person said. Many Christians do. They invent their own version of what is obedience and what is faith, and they choose which verses of the Bible to obey and which ones not to. And those Christians end up being old, if it is that they reach it, if they don't die before out of disobedience, the devil kills them. Their whole lives were just mediocre Christians. And God did not call any of us to live mediocrely. Amen. Just some mediocre, on-the-line Christians. If it weren't for the help of the government and food stamps and government housing, they just, you know, live along. But I don't know, perhaps, maybe, I don't know where they live, the majority of you. Perhaps some of you, that's how you need to start. And that's fine. No one should condemn you for that. The issue is, when you have years living in that system and you think that that's how it has to be. But no, it doesn't have to be that way. If you understand that God wants to honor you. But then they say, why doesn't God honor me then, Brother Hughes? Is it because you're not honoring, maybe? It could be. We're going to see here in the scriptures. You see, if I were to tell you like this, how much did this table measure from here to this point? Well, we could perhaps calculate in our heads. Thank you, calculate. We could just perhaps calculate maybe 3 feet, 3.5 feet. Nevertheless, look. You know how we're going to figure out exactly? With a measuring tape. Look. Well, this is your measuring tape here. This is your measuring tape. Here's how you'll know with the Word of God. The Spirit of God, all He does is give you testimony here. There are people who say, oh, the Spirit of God is telling me that that's how I honor Him. No, go to the Word. It's backwards. First is the Word. Then the Holy Spirit will testify through that Word. Amen. That's how it works. Now, verse 24. And you shall put all these things in the hands of Aaron, the hands of his sons. 25, you shall receive them back from their hands and burn them. Burn them. Notice that. Burn them on the altar as a burnt offering, as a sweet aroma before the Lord. It is an offering made by fire to the Lord. Then you shall take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration and wave it as a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be your portion. Notice, and from the ram of the consecration and salt, consecrate the breast of the wave offering, which was waved, and the thigh of the heaven offering, which is raised. Remember the Lord Jesus said, being raised up on the cross? This all pointed towards Him. You see, it mentions the breast of the ram. The breast of the ram. Remember one of the soldiers struck him on the side with a lance. The breast is where the center of the heart of God, the love of God, is towards his people. All of this represented that. Now notice, from Aaron and his people. Verse 27, and from the rich of Aaron, of that which is for his sons.
Para los hijos de Israel, porque es ofrenda
28, it shall be of the children of Israel for Aaron and his sons by a statute forever. For it is a heaven heave offering. It shall be a heave offering for the children of Israel for the sacrifices of their peace offering. That is, their heave offering to the Lord, or raised heave, meaning raised here. Remember when he said in John 3, as Moses raised up a serpent, that serpent represented cursing. But when the Lord then was raised up, in John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So when he was crucified, he wasn't raised up and nailed him up. No, the cross was down on the floor. They nailed him on the floor to the cross, and then the cross was raised up. But these people without understanding, now the Roman soldiers were doing what God told Moses to do, when you will raise up that serpent on the staff. Remember the first covenant? Because the people of Israel had disobeyed and they were in the wilderness, and due to the disobedience, the venomous snakes came and bit them and they were dying. So the Lord told Moses, make a serpent out of bronze and raise it up on a staff, and he who looks at that serpent will be healed. Why a serpent? The world sometimes has more revelation of healing. What is the symbol of hospitals? What do you see in the hospitals? Do you not see a staff with a serpent wrapped around it? Yeah. And Christians, oh, well, I have to die of something. Surely God is giving me this cursing to show me something. But notice this. Now, 1 Samuel. There was a part that was for the priest. So 1 Samuel 2:14 is the part that was for the priest. What does it represent for us? That God gives you something. It's your part. Someone say amen. But then in verse 15, and before they burnt the fat, the priest servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw. Notice, he will not take cooked. It had to be cooked, we saw. It had to be cooked. Why? Because although the sacrifice was for the Lord, God was not going to eat the meat. We don't eat raw meat. Amen. Are we good till there? Are we following along? Again, are we understanding? If not, I can't move. I'm going to have to stay here explaining this. I need you to understand it so we can go forward on what honor is. And in verse 15, also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw. Again, verse 15 is the part for God. Amen. Now go to Leviticus, where the law was. This was in the law. And this, they had to know it, but they would ignore it, the children of Eli. They would ignore it because they wanted to. Leviticus 17, verse 6, we're seeing the part that is for God. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood on the altar, verse 4, of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and burn the fat for a sweet aroma to the Lord. And burn the fat for a sweet aroma to the Lord. Now, 2 Corinthians 14. Don't lose your spot here in Leviticus. 2 Corinthians 14. 2:14, apologies. 2:14. Now thanks be to the Lord, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Verse 15, for we are God, the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are being are perishing. So what is this about fragrance? Notice that sweet aroma, that knowledge of Him. Sacrifices we represent now, we present is what? You present your body in a living sacrifice. Romans 2:1 and Romans 12:2. Of renewing your way of thinking with the Word of God. Hello? Part of that sacrifice. So what is that sweet fragrance then? What would it represent when it said there in Leviticus 17? You shall burn the fat in sweet aroma for the Lord. What, where the Lord would be delighted of? Ah, oh, steak. No, it doesn't mean that. You see, that aroma, Paul reveals to us that the aroma of knowledge, the fragrance of knowledge of what? When the Lord would smell that, it would remind him the time would come when his child would be sacrificed for the love for us. Every time he would see that smoke, that fragrance. Now, of course, it's symbolical. Do you think aroma reached the heavens? Well, no. Now, if you're going to say that because the presence of God was there, well, yeah. But it's symbolical. That fragrance was symbolical for God. God in the spiritual world was reinforcing the coming of the Messiah and the sacrifice. He is our substitute, said the Apostle John in one of his letters. Which is why I don't understand. I can't understand Christians in depression. With panic attacks and anxiety attacks. Christians in depressions and then putting on Facebook feeling depressed. With a boo-boo face. The world makes fun of you when you go to work thinking of God, which is why they ignore you. I can't understand that to this day. I don't understand Christians that are depressed or sad, and it doesn't matter what happens to you. Not saying that you don't have feelings or that they don't want to go in your mind, but that's why you have authority to take care of everything that God has given us. Everything that God established. Why do you think God established all of this? He didn't have the authority to come and do anything. Satan had control of the earth. And now, through the obedience of man and the spiritual sacrifices, God was now reinforcing that walk towards the New Testament. And what was the importance? That in the New Testament, there would be that accomplishment. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, many Christians are still on that cross. They stayed there. And I like that song, on the cross, I first saw the light. Etc. But the cross itself, in the spiritual world, the kingdom of darkness with Satan in the spiritual world, and even for the Romans, it was a sign of conquering. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was crossed, he wasn't placed on the cross like you see with like 3-4 little lines of blood and then with a tunic over his masculine parts. No, he was completely naked. Completely naked. Why? Because it was a sign of humiliation. It was a sign of having been conquered. It was a sign of completely destroying him. But now we can see through the revelation of the New Testament that it was the beginning, better said, for us, of a life of victory. I said the beginning, it's not the only. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of a life of victory. And many Christians, that's all they see, just the cross. But you have to go around and see his back. And it says that by his stripes we were healed. And go more. But what happens then when you're being fed by feelings and depression and this and that and how they hurt you and what this person said or everything else? That's all you're going to be conscious of defeat instead of what you are in Christ. There's a big difference. We have feelings. You're in your mind here. You have your mind, your will, your emotions. Nevertheless, if it goes against the word of God, what you feel, then you have to reject it. You have to use your authority and cast it out and don't stay there, because the devil will defeat you. Look at all this here. Now I'm sharing this if you like it, if you're a disciple of the word. Now where am I? Leviticus 17. Verse 4. Table of meeting to the offering of the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord. Now jump to verse 7. There shall no more offer their sacrifices to demons, after whom they have played the harlot. This shall be a statute forever for them throughout their generations. This then was what? This was God's part. And which is why we need to let go of certain practices that we have. Now look at verse 17, verse 10. And whatever man of the house of Israel, or of the strangers who dwell among you, who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, no one among you shall eat blood, nor shall any stranger who dwells among you eat blood. Verse 14. For it is the life of the flesh, its blood sustains its life. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. Now that's a custom that we have in the Hispanic community. What silence. That's the reason that the body of Christ is full of ignorance, because we just want that sweet sense of our emotions. But it's the sweet pill of revelation that will change our lives. Hallelujah. Leviticus 3. Verse 3. Now we're seeing the part that is for God. What is that principle for us then? That principle of bringing animals and sacrificing? No. But the principle of giving honor to God. When we arrive with our departure. Leviticus 3:3. Then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offerings an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails. Verse 4, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys, he shall remove. This part here with the animal. Above the kidneys he shall remove. Verse 5, continuing, and Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is on the wood that is on the fire, as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. An offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Again, notice these words. How did it have to be? Verse 5. And Aaron's sons shall burn it on the altar above the upon the burnt offering. Now, so you can understand this, go to 1 Samuel 2. 2:15. To understand, this is God's part. 1 Samuel 2:14 was for the priest. 2:15 was for God. Also, before they burnt the fat, we saw that it had to be burning on the fire. Offering, burnt offering, which is what it says in English here. The priest servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, give meat for roasting to the priest. Notice 15. For he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw. Well, it had to be. It had to be burnt. But they wanted it raw, that they could grab all that they wanted. Because the meat that was already burnt, well, it was the portion that they were going to get. But, you know, they wanted more. And then now the priest here, verse 16. And if the man said to him, so the man being here, the one that was in charge of burning the offering, you understand? And if the man who was in charge, they shall really burn the fat first, then you may take as much as your heart desires. He would then answer him, no, but you must give it now, and if not, I will take it by force. Hold on here. Hold on. Analyze this for a moment. Here you have two children here. One is in charge of burning the offering. The other was the son of the priest. Now, why did the one from the priest come and try to dominate or try to tell the one that was burning the offering? And he would tell them, no, hold on. Who was burning the offerings would say, hey, according to the law, you know, this has to be burned. But then the priest or the one of the priests said, no, give it to me or I'm taking it by force. You know why? Because it was the authority that the priest gave him. And he did not care what the law said. Neither to the priest nor to the one in charge, all that they cared for was the one that was burning the offering. But since the other ones were the priests, they had to submit. That's the bad part. Now, verse 17. Therefore, notice what happened with this. 17, therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. Who were those young men? The sons of Eli. The sons of Eli were the perverse ones. Who were the priests? The sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. For men abhorred the offering of the Lord. The men now was referring to the people. The people in general. There are people who read this that think that the man was referring to the young men. No. No. Look at verse 17. Put the New Living Translation, please. So the sin of these young men was very serious in the Lord's sight, for they treated the Lord's offerings with contempt. But since they despised that the people in general, the people of Israel, did not have respect for the offering. Well, we see that in many churches. They do not have respect for the offerings of the Lord because the pastor does not give offering. Because the pastor is constantly saying, oh, tithing is of the law. You don't have to do this and that. You're creating then a generation, a poor church, and poor members of the church. And the gospel then cannot be preached. There are pastors who say, no, we don't need money. Oh. Traveling, going to other places, having missionary trips in other countries or in other states. No, we don't need money. Why? Because they're poor. They have a bunch of poor people in their churches. And all they have now is just to sell money to get funds when that method is dishonor. In a church where you have to have money to get funds, that's dishonor. Where you have to sell food. Making food for the people, like to have a communion there, that's different. We're talking about having to sell things in a church. That's dishonoring God and dishonoring His word. I'll show you, although we see it here. Go to Mark and I'll explain it. You know, I've lost many friendships with some pastors because I just remembered now when I was in Phoenix, I went through some streets where I went to preach. Many churches don't exist anymore, but some still are there. And my presence is not very liked there for saying things like these. Better said, it's for teaching the truth of the word. Because if you notice, I'm not being rude. I'm not insulting anyone, am I? If they want to do it and disobey God, they have the right to do so. They have the freedom to do so better. Now, Mark 11, verse 15. So they came into Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple. Can you see that? And overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you have made it a den of thieves. Now, read again. Verse 15. With our culture now. You ready? So they came to Jerusalem. So they came to put any, the name of any city from this side. Talking about here from the west side, because Jerusalem is on the east, well, we're on the west. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the table of those who sold tamales and the seats of those who sold menudo. Amen. And would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple carrying tortillas. You see it there. It's right there. Right there. Amen. Or sweet bread to sell. You need to spend hours and hours and hours praying and studying the Bible that the Lord can give you that strength to speak this, because if not, you're constantly thinking, man, I'm going to insult someone. I'm going to offend someone with this. Better said, I see it like this. I always see it like this in my heart. What did the Lord Jesus say? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you receive it, of course. Not everyone receives it in these times. You know what? I've seen it in my life. Part of honoring God, in my case as well, is teaching the word and showing the word. Because since I've honored Him, He will honor me. God has honored me. And when you have a lot of honor, and God starts honoring and honoring you, then you start praying, Lord, how can I share with people and brothers in Christ this honor that you have given me? Guide me, direct me. This is so good. To me, this is amazing. Now, I'm about to wrap up. Actually, even before that, best if I do something because the time is a bit limited. Now you're understanding why the Lord shared this with me. Let's go forward for a bit. And I wish I finished this earlier, but it's a lot of information. Go to 1 Samuel 2. It's the same story, but now you're seeing why God told Eli these words. He told them to Eli. Verse 30. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I shall indeed that your house and the house of your father will walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So they were dishonoring God, dishonoring the word of God, giving bad testimony. They would make the others sin of the people of Israel. God could not bless the people because they were disrespecting the offering. Well, I'll give you an example. This is just one example, because I don't know. But if you do not respect the offerings, it's not due to lack of teaching. Because Nubi and I don't do that. But in this case, the people did it because they see the priests do it. I'm going to keep reading here. Give me some minutes. He goes, this is so good. Verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, which we learn he became a great prophet, wearing a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when he came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, his father. Actually, the name Samuel means he who lives, who heard God. What a great responsibility for those who are named Samuel. Man, with that name, you have to be very... you have to be very cautious of what you hear from the Lord. No. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, the Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan that was given to the Lord. Then they would go to their house, to their own house. And the Lord visited Hannah, that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters after Samuel. The word here, visited, means that God was watching over Hannah. If you remember the story, Hannah first could not have children. And now she had what? 3, 5, with Samuel 6. But notice this. I want you to see something important here. We could see that Hannah received honor from God. But notice this. Verse 20. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, the Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan that was given to the Lord. But what would they do in verse 19? Moreover, his mother would make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. They would bring their offering to God, and not just that. But to Samuel, he was brought up and dedicated him to the Lord. Which is why you and I offer children. We don't dedicate. To dedicate, what happened with Samuel? Samuel lived in the temple. He didn't live in his home. So when you don't dedicate the children, no, you take them. We present them and you take them. Amen, it's yours. Hallelujah. You present them to the Lord and you dedicate them in your home to serve the Lord. We're not talking about serving, or I don't want him to go to a missionary trip to Africa. I mean, there are graces, callings, anointings, and assignments. You dedicate them to a life of sanctity to the Lord. Keep reading verse 22. Now Eli was very old and heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they, apart from disrespecting the offerings, would lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle. The responsible one of all this was him, because Eli was the judge. And although he was old and perhaps could not fit physically discipline his children, he could remove them from that position. Remember, this was before the kings. So the judges had all the authority. And he just asked them like this. So he said to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people." "No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You'll make the Lord's people transgress. And that was it. Just a light little scolding. But sometimes the children need more than just a scolding. Ignorance. No, notice what I'm going to say. Ignorance. If your child is ignorant in something he doesn't know, it requires instruction, teaching. But once they've been instructed and taught, and disobedience continues, they need discipline. Sometimes it's scolding, and that's where parents have failed, including some of you here, which is why you have problems. When do you teach them? When you talk with them, you sit them down and you teach and instruct them. You know, I would receive a report from my kid, be it from Anthony or my daughters, and they knew. When they saw that report was being given to Nubia and I, from here they started crying, because they knew that discipline would come, which is why some of you have struggled with your children, because you never disciplined them. And many Christians out there, one more time, ignorance requires instruction and teaching. But disobedience at that level requires discipline. Eli, all he did was instructed his children, and then his children did whatever they wanted. And there was never discipline, and you can see it here. Again, the day that you think that this sacred book here, this holy book, is God speaking to you, 90% of your problems will go away. You see the word honor? Kabod in Hebrew. Word honor. The word honor, to abound, something heavy in wealth, in honor. I'll show you right now. This is all very interesting. In honor, something heavy in recognition, in support. The Lord will recognize you, support you, to glorify. To glorify has to do with riches sometimes. Sometimes glorify and honor are synonyms, certain parts in the Bible. To enjoy honor, health, abundance, to exalt. To aggravate. Now here we're going to see what this means. To increase the weight of something, to make it heavier. To load, to overload, or to oppress. So the word in the Hebrew sometimes indicates something positive. Now we're going to see something in Genesis 48. So we can see something negative that was here. You can apply it. Genesis 48. Notice, verse 10. Now the eyes of Israel, this was Jacob. his name was changed to Israel, were dim with age, that he could not see. Here we can see something in the negative. Here the word dim with age means loaded. We're dim with. Now let's see in the King James Version. That word here means overloaded in the Spanish version. We're loaded, overloaded. Well, here, if how about you put here, and the bank account of instead of Israel, put here your name. We're overloaded by the honor of God. Are you understanding what this means? It's because what happens here, the word honor, if you translate it from the Hebrew to the Spanish or English, I don't know of other language, sometimes, not always, but sometimes, it doesn't make sense the way that we understand the word to overload or to load. But in the Hebrew, it gives a good connotation. Go to Genesis 13. Now here in here you will understand. Amen. Now Genesis 13. Abraham was very rich. There we go. Kabod in the Hebrew. The same word. Same word. But here it's translated. He was very rich. Now, before going forward, help me with the word again, the Hebrew word. We just saw, to overload, we just saw. Now, here it is. To overload, to increase the weight of something, or to make something heavier. We saw it in a negative connotation. Here, it said the eyes of Jacob were dim or overloaded due to age. Now, make it positive for you, to increase the weight of something. Well, not... You and I know not that we gain weight, that we gain heavier. How about we increase, how about we increase your investments, the gold, the silver, where it's heavier for you. And then what did we read right now in Genesis 13:2? That Abraham was what was very rich. There we go, something heavy. But if you notice on this, God will love you. God will love you sick. God will love you poor, destroyed. God will love you defeated with problems. And God will help you. He will use natural methods here. The government help and things of the sort. And you'll reach an old age waiting for your mom or your dad to die and see what they leave you in an inheritance. And there are millions of Christians that way. Brothers and sisters, what I'm saying is not a criticism to anyone. I'm not judging anyone. It's true. There are millions of Christians who live that way. They will never, actually, you'll hear Christians who will say, oh, well, as long as I can retire and barely pay off my home and my car, just so I can, you know, just so I can have enough for my being. They're selfish people. They think in themselves. They never think in financing the kingdom of God. Just because you and I invested in just one church, almost $1,800 worth of material. The School of Faith is going to be like a book now, and they're going to start printing them here in a certain quantity to ship them off to Chihuahua, because I'm trying to help the people best I can. But people are disciples. We have it in School of Faith. You have to sit down and watch the answers in the back. But you give them to the people over there to the old ladies over there in the small little villages. You think you're going to invest time there? No, very few. I told multimedia, you're going to start making it as if it were a book in that same format. Someone pays the ink. Someone pays everything. And when we give for that and for other things to advance the kingdom of God, God then put the law of tithing and offering. God is now obligated, neither with you or me, but with his word, to bring what he promised. He has linked his mind with obligation to his word. Now one more verse, Psalms 22. You who fear the Lord, again, praise Him, all you descendants of Jacob, glorify Him. Now in the English version, now the New Living Translation. Honor Him, praise the Lord, all you who fear Him, or honor Him, all you descendants of Jacob. Help me with the word again. The word kabod, to honor. Glorify, we saw there, to glorify. Glorify, honor, synonyms. Glorify and honor. Right there. Then I'll explain this later, greater detail. I have a repertoire where if you were to read of verses, if you read them, it's a simple view. You won't see the word honor. Here, it's easier to understand it here. Glorify, honor, give riches, etc. You can understand that. Proverbs 3, this one you'll understand. It's very clear here. Proverbs 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. And He will honor you with what? So your barns will be filled with plenty. Amen. There are people who say, oh, it's because I don't have enough. Well, it's a lie. That's a lie. Lie of the devil. God will provide for you seed to sow if you use faith. And from that few that you have, that few amount will be multiplied. He multiplies the seed. But in the New Testament, there's a requirement. It's the principal requirement. You have to want.
Want to do it? Nobody can make you. Some people here make you give money. Right? And when you want, but I honor. Be on your feet. Thank you, Lord. And this is where it comes, where I said back in the beginning, where I teach this. What does the Lord, what does the pastor mean when the pastor says about this? You have to understand, this is a matter of wanting. When I was in the world, I was in the world. And when I came to the Lord, my mother told me, nothing worse has happened to you because God is good. And what she taught me in Malachi, I've had three Bibles. This is my second one at home. And the first one, it was stolen in my case. It needs a lot of prayer, this Bible. It's starting to fall apart. But in the first Bible that was mine that she gave me, she showed me Malachi. And I was... And I was in the world. Lord, we give you thanks. bless you.
Santo Padre, gracias por tu presencia.
Present.
Te damos el honor y la gloria, Señor.
Give you honor.
Gracias, Padre, porque eres bueno. Gracias, porque para siempre es tu misericordia.
Thank you for your mercy. It's forever.
Gracias por tu amor. Gracias por tu palabra. Te alabo, te glorifico, te exalto y te bendigo.
Praise you, I honor.
Espíritu de Dios, gracias por tu presencia, gracias que nos enseñas, nos dices, nos hablas, nos revelas, y gracias porque nos traes convicción. Cada persona tiene situaciones diferentes, vienen de diferentes formas de pensar y de crecer.
Come from diferentes backgrounds,
pero la palabra es la misma.
Word is the same. Level one to grow and
Santo Padre, gracias que por
Heavenly Father, thank you for healing through by the stripes healed. Take that healing by faith and we cast out a perverse act lives in our bodies. And we rebuke sickness. Tell our body, be healed according to what Hallelujah. Name of Jesus. You're going to give your joy with happiness. We're going to honor God because we want to do it. Because we're thankful because God has been good. But you're going to put your faith in action. And if you are in a financial situation that's not good, you say, thank you, Lord, because you give seed to the one who sows and bread to those who... And I sow this and I believe for an abundant harvest and nothing will be missing in my home. And not only that, but I'm going to keep growing. Nuvia and I did that. And we've been growing and growing. And we haven't walked back. We keep growing. And we keep growing from one level to another. Hallelujah. Because God multiplies your seed. Thank you, Lord.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.